Peace be yours this day from God our Father and from his living and eternal Son, Jesus. Amen. Morning, St. Luke's. Welcome to worship, each and every one of you. I'm thankful to get to celebrate Christ with you today and share his word. My name is Pastor Dan, and we're making our way through a series on identity right now, looking at who we are, our God-given identity, specifically focusing in on Paul's letter to the Galatians. And the goal is that each week in the series, today included, you'll be able to walk out of worship saying, I am, and then to fill in the blank with your God-given identity and to have some sense of what that means as we live out who we are in Christ. And so we began a few weeks ago with I am baptized. Claire gets to be part of that. I am baptized. And in that gift of baptism, we are clothed in Christ and covered in who he is. And we looked at what it means to say, I am righteous, right living, right as I was supposed to be. Everything is right in my life according to God's plan, which isn't true in and of myself, but because Jesus lived in my place, and through faith, God credits his righteousness to us. Last week, we looked at what it means to be able to say, I am family. I'm family, your family, not just part of Abraham's family, that one family through whom all nations would be blessed, but part of the family of God, that his spirit now lives in you and cries out to God, our Father. Today, we want to unpack what it means to be able to say, I am created. I am created. And I want to take us to this truth and the implications for it in a kind of circuitous route this morning. I was running the other day, which is somewhat redundant to say, I suppose. If you don't like running or kids or sports, like I don't have any other stories, so this is just how they are. So I was running the other day, at the pier at Dash Point, you ever go down there? So there's Dash Point State Park, but then beyond that, there's the pier. And I was running down by the pier, and there's little houses there, and there's a lot of no parking signs. There's not much real estate down there by the water. And most of the homes, probably all of them, have some version of a no parking sign. Some are just say no parking. Some say, here's who's going to tow your car if you park here. And some are kind of witty and clever. And there was a funny one that I saw, and I didn't write it down because I was running. But it said something to the effect of, I don't care who you are. I don't care who you think you are. I don't care who your daddy is, no parking. And I love that sign. Maybe some of you like know that homeowner. It's a cool place. But I love that sign. It's a little bit funny. It made me laugh. But it also, that no parking sign, I don't care who you are, who you think you are, or who your daddy is, that speaks to our culture. That sign is put up in recognition of something that's true in most of us. And the idea behind that sign is, you know, the no parking sign, that makes sense, except if you knew who I was, you'd know why that doesn't apply to me, right? I mean, that's kind of what's behind that. Like, yeah, I know it says no parking, but if you knew who my father was, or if you knew who I was, you'd know why I'm kind of above the law in this situation. That sign was posted specifically in response to this thing that is true to some degree in all of us, that we cling to these earthly credentials. There are various credentials here within creation that you and I hold on to as part of our identities. So we cling to these earthly credentials here within creation, and then we take those credentials, these things that are true of us, these things that are part of our identity here on earth in this created world, we take these things that are ours, and we try to leverage them for some special treatment. There are things in you, there are things in me that we think, well, if other people knew this about me, then they would have to treat me a little bit differently. If you knew all the speaking gigs I had, you would listen more when I preach. That kind of thing. I, you know, you just laugh. It's great. But that notion that there's some credential in my life that if you knew it, you would give me something else, that you would treat me differently, that there's something about my identity here on earth that ought to be leveraged
for my advantage. And we do this. You do this in small ways and perhaps big ways. It's that feeling that's behind statements like, if you knew who my father was, or if you knew my connections at City Hall, if you knew how my employees treat me, if you knew how much money I gave to this institution, if you knew how long my family has been a member here. It's the idea that there are certain credentials within us here in our created life here on earth that we can somehow leverage to our advantage, that entitle us to something different, something better, because that credential in some way seems to place us above someone else. We do this in big ways and small ways. I got to experience a small way when I was at a church in Oklahoma because all the hospitals had clergy parking. So because I was a pastor, I got to park closer than other people. Not as close as the handicapped people, but closer than the pregnant mothers. You know, like, where do you fit in? No. But this idea that there's some credential I have that entitles me to something more than someone else. Now, most of the time, this isn't evil, but because of our sinful nature, where every one of us is turned in on ourselves, this notion that we're able to recognize our status over and against somebody else, this leads to all kinds of hurtful and broken things in the world. It's this idea that there's a credential in my created life that I can leverage for advantage because it puts me above someone else. This is what is at the root of all prejudice. This idea that you rank above someone else because of something in you, something you've accomplished, something you were born into, something that's true of your life here and now. Every time we think we ought to be ahead of someone else, that's at the root of every prejudice. That's at the heart of all racism. That's at the heart of all classism. It's at the heart of why we think beautiful or skinny people are worth more than others. It's why we think people who are smart are better people than others. It's why we think that people who are accomplished in life are worth more than others. It's this idea that somehow in our earthly created life, something we've received or accomplished puts us ahead of someone else. It leads to all kinds of stratification that leads to views and actions that communicate some people are worth more than others. It's this idea that leads to systems and actions and words that communicate that certain lives matter more than others. And it's in all of us, and it's wrong. It's not okay. It's not biblical. Nor is it anything new. This is who we are as a broken people. There was a Greek philosopher guy, you don't have to write his name, but his name is Diogenes Laertius. Diogenes Laertius. Yeah, pretty impressive. He was writing biographies of the great philosophers. He's a Greek guy, and he was writing about Socrates. So Socrates was before Plato, before Aristotle. Socrates was like 500 BC. And this guy, Diogenes Laertius, is quoting Socrates, and he says this. This is what Socrates said. He says, there were three blessings for which he, Socrates, was grateful to fortune. First, that I was born a human being and not one of the brutes. Next, that I was born a man and not a woman. Thirdly, that I was born a Greek and not a barbarian. So this is like Socrates' kind of daily prayers of thanks. These are his three ways of recognizing, man, I'm glad I'm not this and not, you know, this and not that, because obviously the one is better than the other. That's the Greek philosophical context that the New Testament is written in. Here's a little prayer book I have. It says daily prayer book. I picked this up in Israel a couple years ago. This one's copyrighted 2007, but the prayers in here go back to at least the 5th century or so. This is kind of the Jewish equivalent of like the Book of Common Prayer. Maybe you've heard that. So it's not like a super extreme left or right book. This is just kind of the normal book of prayer. And in here, it's got prayer services throughout the day, morning, afternoon, evening. And I'm not going to read them in Hebrew, but you've probably heard these kinds of prayers at like a bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah, if you've ever gone to one of those, the Baruch Atah Adonai. Anyway, every morning, it's got, I think, 13 prayers of blessings you're supposed to pray. But here's the first three. They all start the same. Number one, blessed art thou, the eternal, our God, King of the universe, who hath not made me other than an Israelite. Number two, blessed art thou, the eternal, our God, King of the universe, who hath not made me a slave. Number three, blessed art thou, the eternal, our God, King of the universe, who hath not made me a woman. And then they have an optional one for women, who hath made me according to thy will. Like, thanks anyway. So this is the Greek context and the philosophical context and the Jewish kind of religious context where there are clear categories of who's better than the other and who ought to have certain advantages and who is worth more than others. And it's into this context of philosophy and religion of Greeks and Jews, it's into this world that Paul writes the scandalous message of Galatians 3 in Jesus. He says, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, I think those words are already beautiful and profound on their own, but when you put them into the context of a world that says some people are worth more than others, we realize just how amazing and revolutionary this message of Jesus is. You are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We are one in Christ. You see, God is not impressed if you happen to be Jew or Greek. God's not impressed if you happen to be American or Mexican, Easterner or Westerner. Your identity is given to you in Christ Jesus. God's not impressed if you're slave or free. God's not impressed if you're CEO or janitor. God's not impressed if you retired early or if you're on food stamps. Your identity is given to you in Christ Jesus. You don't matter more if you're female. You don't matter less if you're female. You don't matter more if you're male. You don't matter less if you're male. Your identity is given to you in Christ Jesus. And so as you look in the mirror, as you look around the room, as you see the person pushing the shopping cart down the street today, every person you've ever seen or will see is of infinite worth because they are created in the image of God. By nature of being human, we have equal and infinite value before God. And as we stand before God today and on the last day, we are not insecure or anxious or judgmental or arrogant, whether we happen to be Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, because we are one in Christ Jesus. Your identity is given to you in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, who took on flesh and suffered in his body unto death. Christ Jesus, who rose on the third day. Christ Jesus, who sends his Holy Spirit into our hearts, which cries out, Abba, Father. And so with respect to your worth as a human, you are created. And as a creature of God, made in God's image, you have infinite worth. And with respect to your status before God as a forgiven child of God, a baptized believer in Jesus, your identities here on earth neither help nor hurt, but Christ is all in all. Sometimes I do better in telling if you're with me or not. Let me say that again just to make sure you're with me. With respect to your worth as a human, with respect to every single person you've ever seen or will ever see, their value, their worth, and with respect to your status before God as a forgiven child of God, your identities here on earth, Jew, Greek, rich, poor, male, female, American, Scandinavian, whatever your identities here on earth, they neither help nor hurt, but Christ is all in all. Nothing about your earthly identity adds to or takes away from your value as a creature of God. And nothing within your earthly identity adds to or takes away from God's love for you in Jesus. Christ is all in all. At the same time, stick with me if you can. At the same time, your worth as a human creature and your identity as a forgiven child of God does not erase or negate your identities here on earth. Your value as a creature made in the image of God and your identity as a redeemed child of God, before God you are free and forgiven. That identity in Christ and that identity as a valuable creature of God, that identity does not erase or negate your identities here on earth. Here's what I mean. If a Kenyan or a Mexican or an American becomes a baptized believer in Jesus, guess what? Still a Kenyan, still a Mexican, still an American. They don't lose their identity. They remain who they are. And to pretend otherwise is to be silly. You know, to say, like, I don't see color, that's not true. I mean, some of you might be colorblind, like literally, but most of us see color. And to recognize that someone of a different nationality is of a different nationality is cool. That's not to say they're more or less valuable. We have the same worth. It's not to say God loves them more or less. He loves us all the same. But to recognize that someone from Kenya is from Kenya and they eat different things than I do and they like different music and they're probably taller and skinnier and much darker, cool. It's not a value judgment. It's to recognize people of different ethnicities are of different ethnicities. If a boss or an employee over the course of this weekend hears the message of the gospel and they become a believer in Jesus, guess what? Monday morning rolls around, still a boss, still an employee. Our identities here on earth aren't somehow erased or negated by our identity and status before God as a baptized child of God. When a woman becomes a believer in Jesus, she doesn't cease to be a woman. When a man becomes a believer in Jesus, he doesn't cease to be a man. You are created. I am created. And as creature, we have infinite value and equal value. We are all the same in respect to value. And in Christ Jesus, through his saving work, we become new creations. And being a new creation doesn't erase who you are on earth. It doesn't erase who you're going to be in heaven. It means that you are free. Free to live out who God has created you to be. Free to hear his word and will and not have to live in fear of trying to prove your worth. Free from having to try to earn a spot in God's grace. Free to recognize this is who God has made you to be. And so Paul can say in Galatians 3, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female. And Paul's talking about our worth as humans. He's talking about our standing before God. He's not saying that once you become baptized, we're just like clones of one another and we erase our identities. Paul can say there is neither Jew nor Greek, but he doesn't mean the difference goes away. You know how I know that? Because Paul writes a lot about the differences between Jews and Greeks. The same Paul who says there's neither Jew nor Greek can spend a lot of time in Galatians and in Romans saying, okay, so Jews, here's who you are, and here's your culture and your background. And Greeks, here's who you are, here's your culture, here's your background. Paul who says there's neither slave nor free doesn't mean we just become communists. And everything's now equal, and we lose all possessions, and we lose our callings in life. You know how I know that? Because Paul writes a lot about how slaves and masters relate to each other. And in our context, slave and master in the New Testament is much closer to like boss and employee. But Paul can write a letter to Philemon, that little letter that we often skip over, The whole book of Philemon is about how Philemon, the master, and Onesimus, his slave, live out these callings in light of who they are in Christ. So Paul can say there's neither male nor female, but he does not mean that once you become a Christian, gender disappears. You know how I know that? Because Paul talks a lot about the differences between men and women. So in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul is able to say, okay, so men, husbands, here's your job, because that's how God made you. And women, wives, here's your job, because this is how God made you. Now, is one more important than the other? No. Is one more sinful than the other? No. Is one more easily redeemed than the other? No. We are equal value, equally created by God, equally loved by God, and yet by God's design within creation, we have different callings, and it's a beautiful thing. I am created, and you are created. And in Christ Jesus, we are new creations. And yet, the grace of Christ does not erase or negate who God has created us to be. Now, I think this is immensely practical, or at least is a very concrete way to help us navigate this life to see who God calls us to be. I'll give you a couple examples of how I think recognizing that God's plan for redemption doesn't erase God's plan for creation, and who you are within creation doesn't get you like any leverage with redemption. These are just different realities that we live in both. Here's some examples. Let's say you're hoping to make it home for the Blues game. Puck drops at about 12:15, hypothetically. And you're really excited, and you lose track of the speed limit, and your foot gets a little heavy, and all of a sudden you see the flashing lights and the whoop, whoop behind you, and so you pull over. As a baptized believer in Jesus, you do not get to say to the officer, officer, thanks for doing your job. I'm glad you're out here, but you can put that little book away. I'll have you know I'm a baptized believer in Jesus. Thanks anyway. No. What's going to happen is you're going to thank the officer for doing their job. You're going to take and pay your ticket, and you're going to slow down because I'm out on those roads too. And that's who you are within creation, your vocation as a citizen. And you're going to pray and trust that Jesus will forgive you for disobeying the secular authorities. Both. You can be forgiven, and you can pay your ticket. And the one doesn't erase the other. If you're a student, and you turn in your assignment, and the teacher puts a C at the top, you don't get to say to your teacher, I see that you put a C here, but my pastor told me I'm perfect. So if you wouldn't mind just erasing that and writing perfect at the top, then I'll show that copy to mom and dad. Because I'm perfect in Jesus. Now, you're perfect in Jesus. You are righteous. Everything is just how it's supposed to be in Jesus. But do your homework. Study harder. Do the best work. Because that is God's calling for your life right now here within creation. If you happen to be an employee somewhere, you do not get to call your boss up this afternoon or tomorrow morning and say, hey, my pastor told me that grace is free, that we shouldn't earn it, we shouldn't even try to earn it, and so I'd like to set up a direct deposit, I'm moving to Hawaii. Grace is free, earn your paycheck. Grace is free, you don't earn it, you gotta earn your paycheck. Paul himself says, if a man will not work, he shall not eat. You better earn your paycheck. If anything, as Christians and people of God, we should work harder than our neighbors. We should be the best employees in every office setting because we know this is fulfilling God's calling for who we are in creation. We're serving God. We're working heartily as for the Lord and not just for man. We're not just earning a paycheck. We're glorifying God as he's created us to be. If you are a male or if you are a female, God has created you to be male or female, and that is your identity within creation that Christ's grace does not erase. And so what that means with respect to just our sexuality is you get to live out your maleness and femaleness either in the life of abstinence and celibacy or in marriage between a husband and a wife, because that's God's plan for male and female. That's who we are created to be. In these situations and in every situation, the forgiveness that we have in Jesus and the identity that we have as a loved child of God It is never a license for rebellion within creation. Your identity in Christ is never a license for rebellion within creation. God is creator. I am created. You are created. In Christ Jesus, you are a new creation. And that new creation doesn't erase who God has created you to be. It makes you free and alive and fully able to serve God just as he's made you. And so we live out those callings where God has made us, to his glory and for the love and the well-being of our neighbors. May it be so in Jesus' name. Amen.